reality that we're now running into is that the kind of bondage and trauma that people's human spirits experience as a result of the Luciferian rebellion in the pre-Adamic age will recycle on this age. This is really key to the core of human trauma. What many of us don't realize is that even if we don't have a lot of trauma in our physical lives, we may have trauma sitting in our spirit.
You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall.
Hey friends, Dan Duvall here to remind you, danduvall.com is the home of Discovering Truth. Check it out. Danduvall.com has an opportunity for you to become a podcast patron where you can support what we're doing. By the way, the studio that we've been working on is just about finished. We're going to start doing interviews as soon as I can get myself together. And we are going to keep the nuggets, by the way, so there'll be interviews and then there'll be nuggets. We're going to be doing both. But today, friends, is another nugget. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back on the other side talking about the importance of exploring pre-Adamic trauma. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Discovering Truth. Hey friends, Dan Duvall here for another nugget. We're going to talk for a few minutes about the importance of processing pre-Adamic memories. Now, I know that this is a whole new term for a lot of us that are believers. You know, why would we have a pre-Adamic memory if we are created humans before God with an assignment here in the present moment? Dan Duvall, you must just be a reincarnation New Ager that wants to deceive us with the deception. I want you to know that that is not at all what's happening here. In fact, we can start with the Bible, and then we'll move our way into the actual importance of this conversation. Number one, the Bible says that we are a triune man, created spirit, soul, and body, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the reality is all parts of those design are distinct and different. And with that said, there are unique aspects applied to each part of our design concerning our history. And truthfully, the uniqueness of the human spirit is that it pre-exists with God, with a long history that predates our conception. And the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah that, behold, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. The fact of the matter is that in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, we learn that God knew Jeremiah before he was put in his mother's womb. And Jeremiah, you know, God is no respecter of persons. Jeremiah is not the only person that is true of it. It is actually true of every single person there is. There is this reality associated with being pre-known by God, foreknown by God. God predestined us in that he foreknew us. So that means that God, he had a preset destiny prepared for every person that he sent into this world. He didn't put anyone here arbitrarily. He knew us. He designed a calling and a purpose for us. And then we were sent. Furthermore, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, all the days of your lives were written when as yet there were none of them. And that's in Psalm 139. What we understand is that God has a book in his book. All the days of our lives were written when as yet there were none of them, because God doesn't play around with the injustice. He doesn't play around with unrighteousness. He has a righteous position relative to everything he does, including sending us into this world. So he doesn't send anyone into this world without a plan, without a purpose. So what he does when he sends us into this world, he looks at us, he says, I foreknow you. Because he already knows who we are, because we pre-exist. And that's why he creates specific assignments that fall in line with who we were created to be and what we were created to do from the very beginning. Another aspect, another lens that we can look through at this through is in the book of Galatians chapter 4, Paul says something interesting. He says, for the heavenly Jerusalem, the Jerusalem which is above, is the mother of us all. And one of the things that we have to recognize is that, yeah, we are actually born of the heavenly city. Yes, Jesus creates us, and you know, whether principality or power, all things were made by him and for him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. And he is our creator. He is our source of life. But we also have a heavenly mother in the heavenly Jerusalem, or the Jerusalem above, according to Galatians chapter 4. And that is a pre-Adamic, pre-existent city that goes way back in history. God's capital, the capital of heaven, has always been Jerusalem. And what happens is you have the Jerusalem above mapping to a place called Jerusalem on the physical earth. And that is first championed by Melchizedek, who is the king of Salem or Jerusalem. And then eventually it is the Canaanites that end up taking over that realm until David takes it back later on in his campaign to unite the kingdoms and reunite Israel. And so the reality, though, is that Jerusalem below, which is the physical earth Jerusalem here, that city, is simply a shadow or a mapping of a heavenly city where God is king and from which his government projects. So there's a lot that we could say about the pre-existence of the human spirit. And from many passages, what we begin to see is that, you know, human spirits, we were created in Christ, and we exist with God for a long time. One of the things that we learn when Satan is in the garden is that he's already evil when he gets there. You know, any other position on the idea that Satan is already evil when he's in the garden pretty much comes from Kabbalah, which is Jewish mysticism, which would suggest that the serpent was actually a part of God's redemptive agenda for the earth. And it was man that messed up the serpent's destiny. That's all Kabbalah. That's not biblical. And that comes from Kabbalistic gematria, which is an actual occult doctrine. And what it does is it takes the word Messiah, Meshiach in Hebrew. It takes the word serpent or Nakash in Hebrew. It cuts up those letters for their numerical value and adds them up. And since Nakash has the same numerical value as Messiah, we use a Kabbalistic gematria to say that the serpent had a messianic role. They call it the kosher serpent in Kabbalah. And that's how we get the idea that the serpent was actually created kosher or set apart with a purpose to help in the redemptive agenda of what they call Tikkun, which is the restore of the world. And then man messes all of that up by being confused. And so in Kabbalistic gematria, which is Satan's reinterpretation of the Bible through magic, he becomes the victim of Adam, because every narcissist is the victim of their own story. But let me make it plain, that's not biblical at all. What the Bible teaches it very clearly is a serpent that is waiting to beguile Eve in the garden, who is the father of lies and who is already fallen. In the Bible, it talks in Ezekiel 28 about the downfall of the cherub and how he was in the garden of God. And, the Lord made him toast on the earth, burned him into ashes. And the reality is that the Luciferian rebellion and fall was a pre-Adamic rebellion and fall. He fell, and the whole creation was affected by trauma with that fall. And that sits on the inside of every one of our human spirits. And so by the time you get to the Garden of Eden, the reality is we're in the middle of a story, not at the beginning. Now, on the Brian Ministries channel, I have a huge 12-part series called Pre-Adamic Ages in the Spirit of Man, where I go through this piece by piece by piece. In fact, I have a book coming out. It's called Awakened. And that book is going to detail piece by piece. I mean, it's actually systematic theology, arguing for an old creation, an old heavens, a very old earth, the reality of pre-Adamic fall, a pre-Adamic fall concerning Lucifer, fallen angels, and many other spirits that were pulled into the sway of that rebellion, the outcomes of that, and why God put Adam in the garden, and what this human experience really is, which is much more than just us, you know, low down, no good, worthless sinners saved by grace, trying to get our way to heaven. That's such a reduced gospel. We are the sons of God that were sent into the earth, separated from God through sin upon arriving in the earth because of what Adam did. But through Christ, we are reconciled to the Father, so that through us, God can work a redemptive agenda to the creation, as it is written in Romans chapter 8. The whole creation groans awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God, because the creation itself will be delivered from corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's what it says in Romans 8. Is it the crazy part about Romans 8 is that it does not say that the end of the story is creation is being delivered into the glorious liberty of Jesus. It actually says the sons of God. Why? Because we are the sons. We are the body, that the body of Christ is us. We are the body of reconciliation. When it says in the book of Colossians that by the blood of the cross, he has reconciled all things, whether in heaven or on earth, that means that the body that hung on the cross is the body that is us. We are the sons of God as members of that body. And as that body, as sons, we are receiving the creation into our glorious liberty in him. So through the body of Jesus, God is actually redeeming all of creation. But in order to do that, he is taking spirits that he foreknew and sending them into earth assignments. And so there is this massive unpacking. We could go through more scriptures than even that on the reality of the pre-Adamic situation concerning mankind. But what I'm going to tell you is, because of that pre-Adamic reality, each and every one of us has this experience where we are going to have a long history in the heavens, not as human beings, but as heavenly beings created in Christ Jesus before we are given a conception event and travel through in this world as body, soul, and spirit. We're spirits in the heavens. And all of us, and what we're learning, were affected by the fall of Lucifer in one way or another. And this is really key to the core of human trauma. Because what many of us don't realize is that even if we don't have a lot of trauma in our physical lives, we may have trauma sitting in our spirit. And that trauma still needs a place of resolution for us to become fully functional as sons of God. One of the things the Lord showed me years ago is that the coming revolution to the body of Christ is going to hinge on the activation and awakening of the human spirit. We have done soulish Christianity for a very long time. Soulish Christianity means that we are doing all of our Christian walk out of our soul. And the soul is really the presenting consciousness. The soul is the presenting mind. You wake up as your soul, you go to sleep as your soul, for the most part. If you are operating out of another consciousness, whether it's that of the body or that of the spirit, that is usually a very rare and tiny fraction of people, and usually has to do with some kind of significant trauma that would have forced that to be the case. So the reality is most of us, the default, and I'm talking 99.5%, like the default consciousness is a consciousness of the soul. And so we do all of our Christianity out of our soul. We pray out of our soul. We worship out of our soul. We go to church out of our soul. And the Bible says the Lord is now seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. The part of us that is the pre-Adamic element of our design that took this long journey with God in Christ before we were born, that's the part of us that needs to be brought to the surface. That's the part of us that we have been doing ministry to and training and exposing for years and years, the Debride Ministries platform. That part is the part, once awakened, once the church begins to engage, not just as soul, but as soul and spirit and body, in assignments and callings and mandates before God, that we are going to see the cataclysmic revolution come to the body of Christ. So there is an extraordinary leap forward for the way the church manifests to the world, what we're able to do, the capacity that we walk in, the power that we walk in, the authority that we walk in, and it is directly hinged upon partnering with the human spirit. But interesting, you know, when I go into places and I start to, you know, pray for people's human spirits or even engage people's human spirits to come forward and be present, one of the things that I find is that, you know, there's only going to be a percentage of people that their spirits are able to be present. Their spirits, you know, they don't come. And the reasons why are vast, but they include being regions of captivity, not wanting to engage, pieces of the soul blocking the spirit from engaging, demonic blocks or strongholds. There's all kinds of funny business that can occur that would prevent a person in their soul from having an encounter with their spirit and being able to, you know, receive a communication, a conversation, etc., etc. By the way, that's not the normal way that we were designed to work. A normal person should be able to engage the consciousness not only of their soul, but of their spirit and body without any hindrance. The fact that there would be any hindrance on that because of our design. We are three persons, essentially, body, soul, and spirit, but one human. The fact that there would be any block on that is indicative of there being some kind of trauma, some kind of bondage. But one of the reasons why people's spirits do not engage is it's not limited to the kind of bondage or trauma that ensued because they're living their life on this earth and this is a dark and broken world. Some of the reasons why people's spirits don't engage or don't engage fully is because of pre-Adamic trauma, pre-Adamic hurt, pre-Adamic confusion. The crazy reveal is that we were all present in that pre-Adamic environment as spirit beings, and in one way or another, we're affected by the Luciferian rebellion. You know, the Bible says that the dragon took a third of the stars and flung them to the earth with its tail. Later on, it says Michael and his angels fought, and the dragon and his angels, they did not prevail, nor was space found for them in heaven any longer. So the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and his angels were cast out with him. You know, the Bible is very clear. Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. That event happened, but we were all affected by it, but not our soul necessarily. It was the spirit of man. And the ways that we were affected are vast. Some of us were engaged in battle against the rebellion. Some of us were fleeing from the battles and conflict associated with the rebellion. Some of us weren't involved necessarily with the pre-Adamic wars, but some of us were, you know, just heavily disappointed by certain outcomes that occurred, sold out. Some of us were taken in bondage and captivity. And it's amazing what happens, because the reality that we're now running into is that the kind of bondage and trauma that people's human spirits experienced as a result of the Luciferian rebellion in the pre-Adamic age will recycle on this age. It's the most extraordinary thing. So where people, maybe they were taken hostage as a human spirit and trafficked in the pre-Adamic age, we see them now going through actual human trafficking. People may have had a whole lot of resources in the pre-Adamic age and they were robbed. And here we see the recycling, that every time they try to do a business or every time they try to make a foot, like take a step forward in life, someone is actually stealing from them that prevents them from doing a greater work. There are so many broken cycles in people's lives, and they're looking all around like, why does this keep happening to me? What is the source of the cycle? What is my personal sin? How did I let God down? Etc., etc. And what we're learning now, here's the key, some of this stuff is actually anchored by pre-Adamic trauma on the spirit, which comes as a shocker to some, but to as far as I'm concerned, my job is to be a proclaimer of truth. Like, there's a reason why, friends, some of you have not gotten the freedom that you've been seeking God to get. And it's not because you haven't thoroughly explored what sins you are committing or have committed and repented of them and let them go. It's because there is pre-Adamic trauma and there are pre-Adamic issues that are still affecting you because they affected your spirit in pre-Adamic ages. And these are things that we need to resolve if we're going to walk in the full manifestation of who God has called us to be. Now, for those of you that are listening to this nugget, you're like, oh my gosh, Daniel, that's a big, big can you just opened up. How can I possibly get pre-Adamic memories from my human spirit? How could I possibly work through this stuff? The good news is I'm going to tell you where some of your resources are, and a lot of them sit in the Bride Ministries realm, but I'm going to tell you where to find them and how to use them. Number one, you can invite your human spirit forward by simply using your first name, like I would say Daniel, and say, Daniel Spirit, I bless you in the name of Jesus. I honor you in the name of Jesus, and I am inviting you to be present at the surface. Tell me when you're there. Oftentimes when people do that, they will begin to feel a sensation at their head or in their solar plexus heart realm. And then the next thing I would ask the human spirit to do is say, you know, is there anything you want me to know? Number two, bless the spirit. We have multiple blessings. One of them is in my first book, Prayers That Shake Heaven and Earth. We have a couple more in Extreme Prayers That Shake Heaven and Earth. And as you bless the spirit comes more and more online and begins to feel stronger and stronger. Step three, There are multiple prayers on the bridemovement.com website under the prayer tab, which includes a pre-Adamic repentance prayer, pre-Adamic victimization prayer, and a blessing of the essence prayer. I would recommend working through all of those. And the thing is, you may not necessarily know pre-Adamic experiences. Those memories may not be available at the outset, but you can go through the lists that are present in those resources and start asking the question, like, did this happen? Did this happen? Did this happen? And you will be able to get confirmations. It might just sit as a knowing in your heart, or it may actually open up an encounter with the memory in it, and wow, then you'll be processing through that. But this is literally the pathway to begin to unlock on this. You know, God opened up the scroll for the pre-Adamic aid, and I've talked about this on his podcast in the former recordings, but a few years ago, I was actually in a dream, and then I got sucked into the pre-Adamic scroll, and it was this massive written record. Someone translated it into English for me. I was able to read portions of it before that encounter came to a conclusion, but this is a written, the heavens record the history of the pre-Adamic ages. There is a written record. This is a reality, and friends, this understanding of reality is a game changer, because when we begin to heal from pre-Adamic trauma, specifically our human spirits begin to heal, we become empowered to come online and active into our purpose and calling in ways that we never would have considered are possible. It just blows open everything about this Christian experience when we realize that what God is doing in this age is being done on behalf of many, many ages of conflict. We have had such a reduced view of how big the cross of Jesus Christ is because we haven't understood these things or known these things. Even the pre-Adamic challenges, traumas, missteps concerning our human spirits are being covered for by the blood of Jesus that was shed in this age for us. There isn't a single part of us that Jesus doesn't love, and there isn't a single part of us that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection isn't redeeming. That's spirit, soul, and body. That means we're being redeemed across ages, timelines, and dimensions. It's incredible. But friends, this is a nugget, which means you just, get blasted, and then it's over, and we're done. So until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Visit me at dandeval.com, where you'll discover merch, books, and the opportunity to engage in our private social network. Join the tribe by subscribing to our email list and supporting this podcast.